you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 7. Verse 29. And Pastor Jason, this is one of these verses that needs to come to mind or be read or thought through, I don't know, every quarter, a couple times a year. It's packed with truth. And this is all a part of the Sermon on the Mount. So you're very familiar with that. In fact, you've even preached and taught in Israel in the very vicinity of where Jesus spoke these words. But it's a good one. It's a convicting one. It's a powerful one. It's one to really grab your attention. And Holly and I were talking about it yesterday, so I thought I'd share it today. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 29th. 2021. And before we come back to this verse, and I know, Jason, as typically is my pattern, I just spring it on you with no notice, no time to really prepare, no time to examine or go to commentaries or think it all through. But I do want to come back to this. But yesterday was probably one of my highest octane days in a few years. I had so many different appointments and people coming together and progress being made at Marketplace Mall. And a couple of unique stories that I want to share before we come back to that verse. But as many may know, on Monday, I kind of gave out a plea. I really need an electrician to come to Marketplace Mall and work on some outlets. And to my rescue, this gentleman shows up and works out one of the projects. He said, it's pretty complicated on this other side because there's these old wires and they're not marked correctly. And I said, you know what? As long as I have some outlets for the studio set up and then some additional outlets, I can let that whole other side go without outlets. I said, that's not really a deal breaker. I just need to make some progress. So he did an outstanding job, was a wonderful person and didn't want any credit and said, hey, in fact, I want to do this for free. And so it was a very wonderful exchange. But then I came to find that I probably really want outlets on that other side. And so I did a few calls, and it just so happened that another certified and credentialed and, you know, with all the insurance, a top-of-the-line electrician was available. Actually, his name is John Kaiser. He's with Hesterberg Electric. And so he showed up yesterday with his sidekick, Andrew, and I pointed out some things, and I said, you know, really, I'd like to have another outlet over here. So they said, yep, we can do that. What else do you need? And I said, well, this whole long wall has no outlets, but I've been told that it's pretty complicated because of the wiring. And he looked at it and goes, oh, I can do this. I can pull this out of the ground, do this. And yeah, it's too short, but we can make it work. So he did four fabulous outlets on that wall. And then I took him to the back. I said, you know, because they always say you never have enough outlets. You always end up thinking, I wish I would add more. So I said, you know, I'd like another one where we're going to have a countertop here because we actually have a running sink and a bathroom. And I said, you know, we have a couple outlets here, but one will go to our refrigerator. And, you know, if we have a couple crock pots or like a potluck or something, I said, we'd probably need more outlets. So he said, you want another one there? I can do it. And I said, oh, great. And then halfway through, I said, you know what? Could you do another one? Because, you know, if you have the crock pot and then you have the meatball combination that people made and then you had some other things, I thought, yeah, I need another outlet. So anyways, they got it all completed yesterday. So kudos to John Heiser and his helper Andrew and Hesterberg Electric coming to the rescue. And then I had like 10 different volunteers show up to pick up the Prime Lifetimes papers. We had three full pallets. And so Mark Krugler, he gets kind of the northern part of the area. He was there first. And then Bob Dickey gets a whole big, you know, I don't know, 30, 50 different locations. John Heiselman comes out of the Paxton area. And Bob DeGonia, he drives in all the way from Indiana. He gets the most papers, probably 40 or 50 stops in what we would call West Central Indiana, but he gets a number of stops. Rob Seidenberg, he takes them to neighbors and friends and families, personally delivers them. Marianne Simpkins stopped in and got some to take to a few locations. Barb Jewett also made it. Her son, who has some special needs, he really doesn't speak or talk, but he's been delivering papers, she told me, for 7 years now, and so we appreciate. His name is Jason Jewett, and he's just a special child of God that loves to deliver the papers. He doesn't really talk, but he knows how to bring them in and set them down. Lyle Clary came in from Decatur, and so he gets some of our Decatur stops. And then Holly and Esther made it in, and they do a bunch. I mean, Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, Arcola, Tuscola, Arthur, Leroy, and into Bloomington. So it usually takes her 2 or 3 days to get all the papers out. And then tomorrow I'll be meeting up with some others, Jerry Selfrank. He does Danville and part of Indiana, and Brian Rydell. He does all around the Danville area. And then I have to work creatively to get Pastor Ray Peppel and Keith Fellers. They do the Lincoln area, and I got to get some papers to Tim. He works in and around Springfield. And then Janine Keller, she also does some of the smaller towns, 4 or 5 locations. But anyways, that's kind of a huge team. It's a volunteer team that takes the papers throughout East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. And so the November edition showed up yesterday, and over the next few days, they'll be in the almost 400 locations provided for free, and they're also at the WLUJ studio. But I have to get them to Tim in the next day or two, so we'll figure that out. But most of that team made it in yesterday. And then Lyle Morrison with Morrison Home Improvement. I got it right this time, Lyle. He came in and he's overseeing the painting. That's going to be on Monday. I forget what it's called. We're going to use like a friendly gray, I think is what it's called. I have that somewhere. He brought in some different colors, and he'll have his team starting on Monday. So that was great. The electric's attended to. The painting will start on Monday, because on Thursday we'll have the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon with our friend Bill Allison will be coming in and sharing. And so got to get many things pulled together in the next so many days, but exciting to have so many. I mean, you know how the Jewel days were. If you can get this department working and, you know, the VP or somebody's coming in for a visit, so it's all hands on deck and everyone's working their little detail and doing everything. And then I've got 3 different quotes. We're hoping to have a Great News Media sign out in front of our new location at Marketplace Mall. And so I got another bid yesterday. The guy's really has put in tons of these signs throughout the area, a Pinnacle brother, so we'll see. He's going to submit a quote, and hopefully we'll have a Great News Media sign out in front, and it'll be lit up at night, and kind of excited the progress that's being made. But once it all gets painted, then we can move in our 2 U-Haul storage units. And so that'll be a whole nother couple days. And then getting the studio all set up and organized and ready to use, that'll probably be 3 or 4 weeks down the road. But here I am at the home studio that we've been using a lot lately. I'm calling you up and appreciate you taking the call, and appreciate you spontaneously responding to Matthew 7, verse 21, which says, "Not everyone should say to me." Now, these are words of Jesus. Jesus talking to his disciples and many people on a hillside near the Sea of Galilee. It's a portion of Scripture, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. But here's Jesus saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And it's one of these verses that really, when you get to it, you have to stop and pause. Well, wait, what's that mean? Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And again, he's personalizing my Father, Almighty God, equal and yet distinctly different. But like the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," you know, we love to think of God in terms of being our Father. And here's Jesus referring to Almighty God who is in heaven. So on this Friday, thank you for again taking my call and being available. And you've preached many times, I'm sure, portions of the Sermon on the Mount. And I have some wonderful memories of where you did that in Israel. And this is a powerful portion of Scripture. But do you have any additional thoughts about this or some of the context that it's in?
Well, sure. You know, Jesus comes to, this is kind of his magna opus. This is all of his teaching, you know, kind of everything else that we're going to see that Jesus is going to teach on is really going to come back and revisit this teaching. And a lot of people believe that maybe this didn't happen in one moment, but over the course of a couple of days. But that's really conjecture and doesn't matter. But this is the Sermon on the Mount, as so appropriately said. And it begins, it says that Jesus went up on a mountaintop where he sat down and his disciples came to him. And it said he opened his mouth and he taught them. He began to teach. And he began with these revolutionary statements by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I mean, these are all countercultural phrases, right? I mean, the meek, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those are going to be the ones who are going to attain the kingdom of God. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, not the powerful, for they shall receive mercy. And then it goes on to say things like, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know anybody who says, blessed are those who are persecuted, but Jesus says that. But he says those who are persecuted in and for his name, for following him. And then he goes on to tell his listeners that they need to be salt and light, that they need to not hide the light that is the light of life, the Jesus Christ, but instead that light needs to go into the world. The Apostle Paul will write later in Philippians that there to be a light in the darkness, in a crooked and depraved generation. And so, you know, the Greek there kind of has this picture of being a light in the distance that people traveling in darkness can see, and they there's hope, there's hope. Then Jesus says what I think is probably the most important statement in the Gospels, one of them, when he says, do not think I came to abolish the law and prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus said, I didn't come to throw away all that you know. I didn't come to declare a new law. I actually came to purify it. The word fulfill there is means to purify. He says, I came to purify it. Which is interesting because then he begins this teaching style where he says, you have heard it said, but I tell you. You have heard it said, but I tell you. He begins to right the ship. He begins to say, listen, this is the way you've heard it taught, but let me tell you what God really means. Let me tell you what God really desires for your life. And he says crazy things in there about what we do with anger and what we do with lust and divorce and marriage, how we handle our relationships, our oaths, our retaliation, how we love our enemies, something countercultural. He says, listen, if you're coming to the temple to offer your gift and you have something against your brother, leave your gift for God and go find your brother and reconcile to him and then come back and worship God. Mm-hmm. What makes that such a powerful statement is this is God in the flesh making this statement. This is not some teacher. This is God himself saying, if you come to bring me a gift, and you have something against your brother, lay the gift down and go reconcile to your brother. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is preaching unity. And then he goes on to preach about giving to the needy, about prayer, fasting, laying up treasures in heaven, not being anxious. And then we get to chapter 7 where the verse that you gave is. And he talks about judging others, a verse that gets thrown around a lot lately, and we just don't have time to go into it. Maybe another day you'll throw that one on me. And he says, ask and it will be given. He teaches on the golden rule. And then as we begin to move towards verse 21, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So he begins to create this dichotomy of two different kinds of people, a person who looks a certain way but isn't really that way. And he ends this section called the tree and its fruit by saying, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Everybody can catch the allusion that Jesus is making, because if we know from John chapter 15, Jesus says that his Father is the vine dresser. His Father is the one that trims the worthless and rotting branches and throws them into the fire. And then he says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. He's saying, you'll know who's who by the fruit that they produce. And then he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is really a fascinating verse, because there had to have been those who were listening to this who thought, I'm in. Like, I follow Jesus. I love God. I'm in. And he says, no, listen. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. And he creates with this, Lord, Lord, an imperative. So he's saying it's almost somebody who's like syrupy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Lord, Lord, you know me. I love you. He's trying to say, listen, that this is a person who lauds it on, who puts an extra layer of on that doesn't need to be there. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to think in the moment when he said this, that a bunch of people stopped and kind of there was some introspection that began to happen. And he might have even happened before that when he's going, you know, you'll recognize them by their fruits. And these people start to go, what are my fruits? Am I actually bearing good fruit or am I bearing bad and rotting fruit? What kind of fruit am I bearing? And he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Am I saying Lord, Lord wrongly? I mean, because, Mark, it is possible to make a verbal confession that Jesus is Lord, but you don't live like that. It's possible to have this kind of private life that's lived in secret that nobody knows about until God sheds light into that dark place. And all the while, you could be crying out, Lord, Lord, and you could actually be pointing other people to the Lord and saying, oh, you need to come with me and say, Lord, Lord. That's why Jesus says if anybody would lead any of these little ones astray, it'd be better that they have a millstone thrown around their neck and plunged into the depths of the sea. Jesus says the quality of your life is as important as the words that you use. There was this theologian who once said, there are those who speak like angels that live like devils, those who have Jacob's smooth tongue but Esau's rough hand. And we need to realize that because our spiritual life ought to impact our daily life. I mean, Jesus said that, right? Jesus said you'll be able to recognize these people by their fruit. It's actually unfortunate that we have a chapter break between verse 20 and verse 21 because I actually think that you need them together. Because the way that you'll know if the person who says, Lord, Lord, really means it is if the quality of his life is bearing fruit. Now, how do I know that that's true? Because the next thing he says, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not somebody who simply knows it. It's somebody who does it. Jesus is not about you simply knowing something for the sake of head knowledge or for the sake of lip service. Jesus wants you to know something, to do something, because if you're truly changed, then you will begin. People who are truly changed begin to want to change the world. They begin to, and they start small. They start around them, and they begin to move out. They want to change the places that they go. They want to change the temperature and the tone of the interactions that they have because they're bringing Jesus into the conversations and into the quality of their life. And Jesus changes everything. There's not anything that Jesus doesn't change. Now, it's interesting because he says, those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I just heard this quote, and I've probably recited this quote, at least two dozen times since I heard it last week. We know the will of God. If we have the Bible, we know the will of God. The problem is we don't submit to the Spirit of God to do the will of God. And Jesus gave us the Spirit so that we could do his will. Now, what is his will? Well, John Piper aptly once taught that there were two wills of God. There is his sovereign will, and then there is his will of command. His sovereign will always come to pass. God's sovereign will accomplish whatever God sets out to do. But then God has a will of command, and that will of command is like when he says, pray without ceasing. I mean, when was the last time you prayed without ceasing? I mean, we break those.
Hey, I'm still in the midst of it. Hey, don't ruin my rhythm.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But his will of command is the one that we break often. And so that's the one I think that Jesus is talking about, because Jesus says the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So it can't be his sovereign will, because his sovereign will is something that only God can do. Only God can accomplish those things, and nothing can stop them. But he's saying that this will is something that we will do, which means it is his will of command. And so Jesus is trying to call these people to holiness. He's calling them to bear good fruit. He's calling them to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance is failing and going back to God and admitting that you tried to do it outside of his strength. You tried to do it outside of his Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I was praying with somebody yesterday, and as we were praying, Lord, save me from my good ideas so that I can do your godly ideas. And so this is what Jesus is calling these people to, because he says, listen, there's a whole lot of you people around here who act religious, who act spiritual, but your lives don't look like you're following anybody but yourself. And he says, you're not going to enter the, I mean, this is a pretty hard line. You're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, well, yeah, there will be something to the quality of your life. You'll bear good fruit. And he says, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, again, this kind of syrupy kind of line is, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And Jesus says, yeah, no, that's really great. Cast out demons in your name? Well, yeah, oh, woo-hoo. And do mighty works in your name? Yeah, in my name alone, that's it. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's saying to them, listen, you could preach well. You could look as though you're casting out demons. You could do mighty works that you claim are in my name. But at the end, on that last day, you're going to be found out. On that last day, there's not going to be any way where you're going to be able to stand before the Father and kind of pull the wool over his eyes. And therefore, live like you mean it now. Live like you mean it now so that later on you don't have to pretend like you did.
You brought up something very interesting, and you just said it the one time, but the lip service. There are a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord, or saying Christian things, or, oh, God bless you. But this last thing, Jesus saying, I never knew you. There was never a relationship. There was never intimacy. There was never conversation. There was never that surrendering, or, like you would say, and I love it, leaning into Jesus, where they recognize they needed him. They recognize him as Lord and Savior. They recognize him as God, Emmanuel, with us. Jesus didn't know him because there was no relationship. And it's just a reminder to me, and I think to all of us, the importance of knowing Jesus, of surrendering ourselves to him, receiving him as our Savior, confessing our sins, recognizing that he died for us on the cross. And the series you kind of preached this last Sunday about he rose from the dead, but that ascension, ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and then the fact that he's going to return is another motivation for us to serve and surrender and submit and honor him. Well, hey, another great passage. Get in God's Word, everyone. You never can lose. There's always nuggets and truths and points of application that we can put into our lives and pray through and talk to a friend or a neighbor, your family member, your spouse. Get to know God's Word and share what you're learning. There's that verse in Timothy or somewhere where then we're called to share the things that we're learning with our teachers, with those that pastor us. So, well, thank you, Pastor Jason, and thank you, listener, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Friday edition, where I always enjoy having Pastor Jason Schiffel divide God's Word and storytell and share some of the things that are going on with this radio ministry. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.